Blog Talk Radio.
A good evening. Do not attempt to adjust your radio. There is nothing wrong. We have taken control as to bring you this special show.
To listeners everywhere, you have tuned in to Calendar Truth on Now Time Radio. I'm your host, Makua Ray. Happy to be on this exploration and journey with you tonight. I want to point out that we are in what is referred to as the Galactic Moon, the eighth moon out of 13 moons, 13 months, and today is day six. It's also called Leni, and it relates to the solar plexus. For those who are listening and tuning in to this information, either previously or even currently, you'll hear us talk a lot about terms and things that may be new to you, but hopefully it will make sense as we continue the conversation. So I want to definitely welcome you all again this evening, and also welcome my brother in this mission, calling in live from Bogota, Colombia, Brother Ruben Yunus. 1013. What's up, man? How's it going?
Aho. Wow, I'm seeing quite a couple of really intense weeks. And we have here in Colombia a lot of movement. We have the Global Peace Summit of Nobel Laureates. And so the city was vibrating in a different mood during those days, and I was so fortunate to be there and to meet really interesting people. And I hope that we have the chance today to speak a little bit more about it. But it's like a movie being coordinated from above, and all these events are happening right now next to us. And we jump on these opportunities, and we confirm that there is a bigger plan happening. So it's very exciting time, and I'm happy to be here again in this space that we created to create this conversation. And hopefully, because of the sensitivity of some of the subjects that we are going to be speaking about, that we have the participation of more people, this can be always to be more than a two-way conversation. So we'll be really happy to hear today from people around the world who are tuning into this noospheric space.
Yeah,
time.
That's right. And in fact, to that point, I want to give people the phone number if they're out there listening. They can call us at 347-855-8448. Again, that number is 347-855-8448. Call in to join the conversation. As you mentioned, there's a lot happening both in South America, land of the condor, North America, land of the eagle. We know that there's a convergence of these energies, these medicines, and we're in that time. We're in that time of reunification, that time of restoration. And part of the healing, though, is met or catalyzed by conflict. I think it's something we have to really look at and have a lens that helps us see the order of affairs, if you will, or the synchronic order, the synchronicity of all these events that are happening concurrently. I think it's very important, and that's why I know exploring the subject matter concerning a 13-month 28-day calendar, a harmonic standard is extremely important at this time. And as you also indicated, we've had certain significant indicators along the way to confirm and affirm the time, space, and circumstance of this calendar reform effort. And recognizing that what we're doing by having this platform, what we're doing through calendartruth.info is not something new as much as it's a continuation of something that's been inspired for at least the past century. And we have the good fortune of, you know, playing our part at this time. And to that point, I just wanted to share something from the 13-month, 28-day transitional calendar, the one that we published on calendartruth.info. For anybody out there listening, I want to invite you to go to calendartruth.info to the blog, and you'll see a blog post about the calendar that you can download the PDF from and print out your own wall calendar version of the 13-month, 28-day transitional calendar. But we're in the eighth month, or the eighth moon, the galactic moon, as I mentioned at the top of the program. And I just want to read from the entry inside the galactic moon because I think it's so fitting for the conversation tonight. The calendar that a society chooses to use practically defines that society. I'll say that again. The calendar that a society chooses to use practically defines that society. A group of people who have chosen to use a calendar and to coordinate their activities and their perception of nature and time according to it, with agreed-upon holidays, customs, and belief systems, have basically agreed to form a society. If one intends to leave a society and form another, one should only need to leave one calendar for another. In this case, the society to leave is the 1260-based one, to form a society whose calendar is a natural human model synchronized with both the moon and the sun, a lunar-solar calendar. In this sense, calendar change is truly revolutionary. It is important to remember that to leave a society via calendar change does not mean to leave the world and humanity behind. It is an act of personal conscious power and free will, and by reaching a collective critical mass, calendar change can certainly mean the complete change of what we know as modern society. And certainly the direction and trajectory of modern society under the frequency of 1260 is revealing itself in sort of this hyper-domination mentality. And I want to say hyper because, you know, the legacy of the 1260 calendar, the Gregorian calendar that we're all using, not particularly by choice, it's something that has been imposed upon humanity for several centuries. The fact of the matter is, though, it is a paradigm of domination. There's no different way to frame that. And so when a society is organizing itself around this agreement of accepting the domination or power of one group of people over several others, then that is obviously a type of society that is not necessarily in the best interest of all people or of nature, for that matter, as we are seeing playing out, particularly under the microscope of what's happening in the United States. You know, and I think it's an interesting thing. Absolutely. As I said, you're in South America. You're in Turtle Island South. We'll call all of it Turtle Island. Why
yes.
Not? But you're in South America, the land of the condor.
Yeah.
Here we are, Washington, D.C. area, land of the eagle. Even the totem of the United States of America is the bald eagle. So there's a lot of interesting markers and indicators in the symbolism and the objects of culture that also sort of point to the recognition of meaning, the recognition of something that they don't even necessarily speak about. So the fact that the U.S. is under the auspice of the bald eagle is sort of an interesting indicator that there is an understanding of nature and the role that nature plays. But then in the prophecies of many indigenous people, we're in the time of the reuniting of the condor and the eagle. And so I think it's just a beautiful thing to know that this society that we are envisioning, that we're actually emphasizing by sharing information about calendar reform, is something that's inclusive and it's empowering, and it is not a frequency that is perpetuated by a need to dominate others. It's really a paradigm
yes.
of self-assertion, self-reflection, self-sovereignty, and a relationship, a declaration of one's relationship to nature. That's really
Absolutely.
What we're stepping into as we look at this 1328 paradigm as opposed to the 1260
Absolutely.
Frequency. So, yeah, I
Absolutely.
Mean, you mentioned it as well. I think it's exciting. So let's actually talk a little bit about what you encountered. I mean, as things just happened, I think it's really important to share a little bit about the synchronicity of the event that you attended this past several days. It sounds amazing. Speak on that a little bit.
Yeah, well, as we were speaking before, part of the or the byproduct of living in natural time or living according to these rhythms is that we experience more synchronicity. Though we are usually looking for synchronicities like something out of the ordinary, but in this case, they start to present more like as an ordinary thing. And that acceptance of these patterns that we start to see starts to reveal a bigger picture playing. And so the meetings with the people that we have the chance to interact with are filled with meaning. And in this case, I try to not delve much into the local affairs of politics in Colombia and all of that, because this is a very narrow cocoon, and we are more paying attention to the global drama playing out. I have no idea that my country and my city was going to be the host of the International Peace Summit for the Nobel laureates for the first time in South America. So this is a historic event for many reasons. It's the first time that it was happening in South America. It's the year that the Colombian president won the Nobel Peace Prize. This I learned through some of the people who attended, who organized the summit, that it was not planned, that the president winning the prize was not related to choosing the place for. So this was kind of meant to be, or it was synchronized for it to happen that way. And because of that, the energy and the atmosphere at the event was really high. We had the pleasure to have here people from all over the world, especially interesting the participation of women Nobel laureates, and especially Rigoberta Menchú, who was not only speaking at the panels, but there is an organization called Peace Jam that works with Nobel laureates to present them as role models for youth. And they work on projects with these laureates, and the last one was they did one documentary with Desmond Tutu, and then the second one was released last year, and is the life and the legacy of Rigoberta Menchú for the Maya. It's called Daughter of the Maya. I also arrived to the event with no knowledge of that documentary being released, and at the end of the documentary, I realized that we are really synchronizing with our initiative of bringing this information again out, and this documentary being very much related to this propagation of the imperial mindset or the colonization patterns that we are still experiencing ripples of. So having her presence here as the emissary of the Maya and as being the Nobel laureate who won the Peace Prize in 1992, you know, during the 500th anniversary of Columbus arriving to America. It was very, very significant for our purpose, and it was a confirmation that we are tapping into the healing, the most important healing aspect of this process that we are in, which is the memory that we are. The documentary leaves really an imprint on how important it is to prevent the cultural holocaust that can wipe out knowledge from the planet. So she emphasizes that aspect of the calendar at the end, and that is an amazing door that is opening, and that we want to explore with the people who are behind this documentary to see if we can keep working in the future. So yes, it is a very special time, especially with everything that has been going on in the United States. There is a much more emphasis on action. That was the main message of most presenters or panelists. Was young. We're talking about young people and women especially. They were really calling youth for taking action, and that these actions, they don't have to be really big. It's just these small actions every day that make a difference. So
I think daily action we can take, it's truly transformative, is to actually use the 13-month 28 lens, because that action literally reconfigures our brains, you know, and there is scientific evidence that shows that our experiences and our thoughts shape our brains, literally. They inform the connectivity of our neurology. So there's something there, and again, as an action to begin to implement that as a choice in one's life is something I would love to present, you know, among other actions that people are taking or being encouraged to take, because that's a significant action in terms of choosing the sort of society or world or culture within which you'd like to live and see for future generations. So I really appreciate that. And I also wanted to point out, I had a chance to view the film too. As you shared it with me, I went on Google Play and rented it, because you can rent it, you know, for a few dollars, and it's really, really worth it. I learned so much, you know, and the fact is it's not subtitled, but I know enough Spanish. I was able to really gather, you know, what she was saying. And then the narrator was very helpful, all in English. And one of the things the narrator said that stood out to me was that the Maya had 28 calendars that they worked with. I didn't realize it was 28, actually. I knew I'd heard other numbers, you know, previous to that. But it makes sense that actually it would be 28, because in terms of, you know, all of the harmonics and everything relative to that, but 28, obviously 28 days per moon or lunar cycle on that average, you know, it makes sense. It's in synchrony with the mathematics as they are. And maybe a little later we can talk a little bit about the significance of the 28 and the Gregorian calendar, because those numbers obviously factor into the Gregorian calendar itself, as it is a timekeeping tool. But I want to elaborate on something else from your experience.
The this call to action was also related to the how to deal with our emotions right now, because as we were saying before, with the Muslim ban. And with all the rhetoric that is increasingly polarizing, people are getting really agitated, and how to funnel that internal emotional conflict is really important right now, because we can either use that energy to create a lot of momentum and change, or create a lot of chaos. So there was one of the panelists, a woman from Iran, Nobel laureate, who talked of her lecture was about sacred anger, which was some like a sort of revolutionary concept for me to absorb. And Rigoberta kind of second-handed that, because the situation is coming to such much pain because of the repetition of history that is happening right now, right before our eyes, and that it's been intensifying during the past days, and how to flip that dynamic and create a positive change out of that. That's kind of what I think I really got out of the event, plus all the people that I had the chance to meet from different parts of the world, from very different streams. So it is for sure an event that is creating here a sort of wave, because now Bogota is being called the city of peace. So at least there is a feeling that we need to walk and be in integrity. This is the moment of integrity, being in integrity with that call to be an example and to lead by example. That was the slogan of the event, lead by example. And I think that it is a very old formula that will render great results. And yeah, it's those little things that we were speaking before that make the shift, because those who follow the calendar and live by example, I emphasize this with everyone new to the information, that it is much more powerful and much more significant for the shift that we want to create. The positive shift that we want to create is very important to tune into these frequencies, because it bypasses all the third dimensional drama. We are connecting with something that is beyond this polarization and this drama, and allows us to tune in with harmony. So people were really excited to hear the information, I'm hoping that we will have a lot of ripples from this event in the future.
Yes.
Related to calendars change and to these initiatives.
Yeah.
So I'm excited, and there's a lot of work ahead for all of us, so that those little actions of support, they really make a difference. So someone is listening that hasn't signed the petition, you can go to our website calendartruth.info, and on the right side you see the petition. I think the URL is calendartruth.info/say-yes. And we need those signatures. We are hoping to reach a critical mass, and we're tuning to this wave of awareness that is happening, not only for indigenous peoples, but for everyone, all the minorities, and for all this cultural division that is happening right now. It's really important to see beyond the what is happening, and try to tune into something bigger as a collective, and a critical mass is really important to achieve that shift without a lot of trouble that is unnecessary. Yeah, if we know how to do things, of course. Yeah.
Well, that's right. No, no. I mean, that's a fortunate come of attuning ourselves to a harmonic standard is it fosters greater harmony, greater synchronicity, which is meaningful alignment and timing, you know, where everything is in that evolutionary flow. I want to talk briefly, though, about, you know, this idea that the elders in Bogota there gathered there, those among them, Rigoberta Menchú, who received, as you said, in 1992, the Nobel Peace Prize, you know, and that being a 500-year marker for 1492, when Christopher Colón is said to have discovered America. An interesting thing, right? So, and
yes.
Understanding that he was looking for India and then called the people that he encountered Indians. And it's interesting how that name has stuck since that time. But I want to bring it forward then to 1971 with something that was posted to the internet some days ago, I guess, but it's the interview with John Lennon and Yoko Ono on the Dick Cavett Show.
Yeah.
The television program.
Yes.
One second.
Yeah, yes. We have the dog love.
Yeah, pardon the dog's excitement in the background.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the dog is just heralding the synchronicity that we're speaking to. The dog star coming into focus. But I just wanted to say that interview is interesting because that was aired on September 11th, 1971.
Yeah.
Which
was incredible.
30 years prior to September 11th, 2001.
Yes.
Interesting point. And
yeah.
The information and the nature of the conversation, we want to actually play it for people in a moment. You know, we don't want to say too much. I think people should really hear it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important to note that we're talking about these cycles. So since 1492, you know, into, you know, the cycle of the late, you know, 1900s, 1970s and beyond, and then this particular conversation. Do you want to say anything to set that up? But I'd like to play that in a moment, just so people can tune in, because I want to point out the fact that there's just the continued effect that's been had as a result of colonization, of colonialism, of conquest, of domination mentality, you know, lording over nature, lording over people as if, you know, all things were not connected. You know, so it's interesting to hear one of the most reflective artists of all time, that being John Lennon, really put Dick Cavett and almost the American public to task to consider the humanity of indigenous people. And it's really beautiful.
Yes.
It's profound. So I don't know if you want to say anything else to that, but we'll play it in a moment.
Yeah, that is certainly an invitation for all of us to meditate why, if he has said this message before and if many, many heroes have talked about this, why are we allowing it to repeat? And we will go later into the role that the Gregorian calendar as a program is kind of driving the collective unconscious to repeat these situations until we make them conscious. And the way we can make them conscious is by looking at the synchronicities, like the 9/11 aspect of that interview is speaking directly to us from the past into the future, and make us reflect on today. Is profound. Yeah, so let's listen, because I think it's much better to listen him speak about this and speaking him about the Maya, which is another important synchronicity.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and let this sink in. So you are listening to Calendar Truth on Now Time Radio, and we're about to listen to John Lennon in an interview on the Dick Cavett Show in 1971, September 11th, to be exact. Thank you.
I'd like to know about some things about you. Things like when we first met, you brought me that album of Sioux music, Sioux Indian music. I'd like to know how interested you are in Indians, and are you interested in, quote, the Red Revolution and power for the Red Indian, you know, that kind of thing. Are you interested? What are American people doing for Indians? That's a big question over in Europe.
Yeah, I'm getting more and more interested in that. First, I was just interested in Indians like a kid at the cowboy movies. That's how it started. And then I come from the Midwest where there are there are Indians everywhere.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I used to see some as a kid.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, I guess you just develop a feeling that's so tragic, that whole period of Lai-like incidents, the Sand Creek Massacre, the Custer's wiping out of the Indians at
Washita. I just heard something very interesting on the what are those Indians down, the Incas and those other ones that could write.
Well, Aztecs and
the Mayans.
Oh, the Mayans.
The Mayans.
Yeah,
I was reading, somebody on TV was talking about how one of the when the Spanish came, these priests burned for 30 days all the Mayan books, so there was none left, and his reason was... it's either the word of God, and we've already got that, so we'll destroy it, and if it isn't, it's the work of the devil. So they destroyed the whole Mayan culture, literature, which was very good and very aware, and there was about three books left which sort of say, you know, got up and went to work, and there's not enough words for them to work out what the language was.
That's right,
and
that, one man
that's
destroyed a whole
one
written...
One up for Christianity.
Culture. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, the man who led the Indians against... who led the cavalry against the Indians at the Sand Creek Massacre was... a man of the cloth.
Oh, yeah.
Not that all.
You had
men
a good.
Cloth,
you had an interesting Indian on the show you were telling me about, too.
I have.
I
had a man who was also a great authority on Indians. I'd love
he was at Custer's Last Stand or something.
No, he was a friend of Curly, who was Custer's scout, John Neihardt.
Oh. You didn't know he was an Indian freak, did you? So
but
what
the
about
thing
the
is
Red
you
Revolution
feel like
then?
Maybe you,
know,
you
I mean,
could.
What's going
to
happen?
You feel so frustrated at what was done to the Indians in the past that you feel like you should do something for their descendants now, who are still getting it.
Well, I know,
ways.
They're illiterate and not educated, not looked after. I mean, they're like, I don't know if they're having it worse than black people here, but it's pretty rough for them, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very bad, and I think it's good that people have a sense of conscience about it and are doing something about it.
Well, they've made so much money out of the Indians. At first they took the land, and then they made movies about them taking the land, you know?
Yeah.
It's a bit mean, you know? But we always used to stick up for the Indians in Britain on the movies, you know?
I heard that in one movie they were making in which they did the Custer Battle, which has never been done well on the screen, but anyway, they used the crows as the ones who attacked Custer, whereas actually the crows were the scouts for Custer.
Oh, I see.
And the Sioux, who were working on the picture, were furious and said, if it hadn't been for us, there wouldn't have been any Custer battle.
Well, it's like Nixon having a Japanese watch, isn't it?
Having a what?
Japanese watch, you know.
Does he have a Japanese watch?
He does, yeah, with a Spyro Agnew watch. He has Japanese watch.
I didn't realize
But
that.
What's happening with the Indians? I mean, what are they doing for them, you know? Don't they legally really own the land?
Not
like
enough. Interestingly enough, some conservative politicians seem to be more concerned for the Indians than some liberal politicians.
Maybe they've realized how many there are on the whole American continent, including the South.
How many
people think there's only a few Indians left. There's millions of them in the whole continent of America, which includes South America. And one day they're going to be asking for their rights. I wouldn't be surprised if they weren't standing next to the black people, too.
Yeah.
So it's either give now or die later, I reckon.
And now for something completely different.
You're tuned in to Calendar Truth on Now Time Radio.
So, reflecting on that John Lennon conversation on the Dick Cavett show, I think it's interesting how he was putting the host to task and actually giving voice and creating a platform of awareness on national television, you know, to emphasize the humanity of indigenous communities, you know, and also drawing the correlation of the fact that there would be a time when they would stand up alongside black communities. And so what we see happening simultaneously right now, some 45 years later even, is we see Black Lives Matter. We see Standing Rock. We see solidarity across these movements, you know, being that Black Lives Matter organizers went to Standing Rock. And there's, you know, awareness and sharing via social media, which is the main form that these current social movements are able to use to communicate with each other. you know, there's a lot of information, there's a lot of inspiration coming along the lines of change, transformation, really speaking up for communities who've been traditionally voiceless, invisible even, you know. So we see so many things really coming to a head right now. I think it's telling in that conversation, as we said, it was kind of telecasting what would be happening and that there would be a time again where these people would stand up for their rights, for dignity, and for the sake of the natural world. You know, I think we cannot underemphasize what it is that the youth and the elders at Standing Rock stand for. They're standing for clean water for everybody. They're standing and praying for everybody, even the aggressors.
Mm-hmm.
They're actively endearing to people that say they're in solidarity with them to say, hey, pray for these people too. You know, they're not leaving out President Trump. They're not leaving out the Army Corps of Engineers, even though these entities have now made a declaration to allow the pipeline to go through under the Missouri River. But
it's incredible.
The focus can't change from that form of action also, because it's actually that form of action of prayer, prayerful action, that magnetized that much support. You know, people began to understand no DAPL simply because water is life.
Yeah.
Really.
Fine.
You know, that
really
simple understanding, that simple awareness, you know. So
absolutely.
One such as John Lennon seeing that so long before, you know, It's a very interesting thing to be able to share.
Yeah. Well, he said it, and Jose Arguelles also said it many times, and we are still seeing it. So, what is behind that? But before entering into that, I want also to recognize that today in the traditional count, in the long count, the traditional Maya count, is keen. White planetary wizard in the traditional people, they call it by its Mayan name, which I think planetary tone is Lahun, and the wizard is Ich. So Lahun Ich is today, and that's John Lennon of the Greenspell count, and it is important to make these connections conscious, because there is a reason that he's talking us from the past, and in the traditional Maya camp, which is kind of the traditional or the original way in which the count has been held for so long by the timekeepers, and the galactic Maya count, how past, present, and future are now merging today in this broadcast, because we are having this voice coming alive again on his day to give us a message, and we need to listen to the implications of that and why this is happening. Certainly we need more John Lennons today, we need more Jose Arguelles today, we need more people who can use their not only their knowledge, but their image with the world to spread a message and awareness for the care of those indigenous communities that have been dealing with a trauma for the past 500 and something years. So it's really important to tune into that and to say, okay, what can I do that we can keep this or reawake this mentality of the time of John Lennon? How can we talk about revolution again, but not a revolution like in the 60s, but a much more mature revolution with people who really can understand the that 1968 is a very different time than the times we are now, 2017. There's a lot.
That's right.
A lot has been happening since then.
Yeah.
So
it's a completely different world. You know, mm-hmm. It's a completely different world. And at the same time, there are eternal principles and qualities that our indigenous stewards and elders and communities hold true and hold fast to. And I think there's a tremendous amount that we, with our fast-paced, ever-complicated society, have to learn if we would just be humble and listen, you know, and begin to consciously return back to attunement. And what's interesting is if we think about this question of calendar reform, we think about this because I remember José Arguelles sharing the idea that the 13-month, 28-day calendar, the 13-moon synchronometer, was a tool for the westernized mind, specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So for people who have been colonized, who've been indoctrinated,
mm-hmm.
who've been, you know, dominated over, you know, this is a tool to actually help lift us through that, out of that. And I can say as a fact, I know I've always sort of been interested in things that are more leaning toward transformation or transformative or some kind of spiritual awareness connected to it. And I can say that when I was introduced to the 13-month, 28-day concept, I began to actually experience that in my life, beginning to sort of understand how that connects with the Dzogchen or how that connects with other of the calendars. As we said, there are 28 different calendars in Maya kept alone. But they weren't westernized. These people were not westernized. They weren't.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't, from the basis of their knowledge, colonized. Their knowledge came aside from colonization. They weren't operating through indoctrination. They were supreme observers and scientists and humans who really deeply revered and connected with connection to nature, connection to each other, you know,
absolutely.
In this sense, this high science. I mean, they're painted with a broad brush, oftentimes, I think, in a way that's very ignorant, but suggests
mm-hmm.
that they were just savage or ravenous or bloodletting people doing this kind of sacrifice or that sort of thing. But what's interesting is the people accusing them of this, or the academia or scientists that say that this is, through their anthropological study, what they've realized about them, that these people themselves are encumbered by a bloodletting culture. What do we think war is?
Yeah.
What do we think war, since this past 20th century, is, if it's not bloodletting? If it's not some kind of sadistic, even, behavior? In the name of what? And that's the thing. It's in the name of nationalistic sort of separate identity, misidentity, or limited
mm-hmm.
identity in terms of who we are as a species. And that's an interesting thing. So the 13-month calendar is a tool to literally help us decolonize our minds. It's a completely
Absolutely.
Different frequency from the colonizer's paradigm, which the Gregorian calendar has, since its adaptation from the Julian calendar, basically served the purpose of. It's been the underpinning of our global capital dominant culture.
Yes.
We have to come to terms
with
that.
We
have to come to terms with this.
Uh-huh.
Because if we're actually going to make a conscious decision to shift from it, we have to know the nature and basis of what we're actually shifting from. So we'll comprehend the difference as we're shifting to something that is distinct, that is connected.
Yes.
You know, it's just so much a part of us. So it's important that we speak it out as for what it is as well. And I also just wanted to cap this by saying one of the young leaders that I've seen emerging from Standing Rock, in fact, is an artist and she is a young leader who has been, in her own way, a vocal proponent of the No DAPL movement, part of the youth contingent of young people who's been involved and very, very present and very committed. And her name is Lila June. And I know we had some music we're going to play.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to get you to play a song of hers as we're in this conversation about this, just to inspire people. This is a track from October 2016. I want to put it in context because this was
important.
In that part of the movement of Standing Rock and this Raising Awareness, Mini Wachoni Water is Life, this was a call for 4 days of action,
mm-hmm.
4 days reflective of four directions. And then we'll play a little interview from her just the other day when the news came down that the Trump administration had, through the Army Corps of Engineers, through executive order, pushed through the easement to give Energy Transfer Partners the green light to dig under the Missouri River, which is a complete tragedy, frankly, but it's not something that people didn't expect. So the hundreds of water protectors who remained in Standing Rock were still there, stayed because they already knew that when the so-called victory was given, when Obama sent it down and basically the Army Corps denied the easement, it was more people who are aware of these things. It was a diffusion tactic to diffuse the concentration of people, because the fact is, when a couple of thousand vets arrived, the same time that happened, that's when the so-called victory was set to have occurred. Because naturally, you've got 1,000 or 2,000 vets coming to stand in front of the water protectors, the elders, and the young people. To you know, between those people, the water protectors, and the police force, they're coming down there to really protect and help these people stand their ground. You know, and be witnesses, observers to what was happening, you know, and the diffusion tactic of giving the perceived victory. And again, most thinking people knew that that was just a tactic. And so those water protectors, those activists, those ones unified in action to protect this community, to protect the waters, because life is sacred, water is sacred, you know, they remained. And we know that since the decision coming down from the Trump administration executive order, they have, you know, been now again under force of these service, these security forces and such that are beginning to mobilize and organize against them. And so some veterans and more veterans and other people have begun to return in just the past couple of days. So we're going to play again something from October 2016 with Lila June, this young, amazing activist, and then something from just a few days ago after this announcement came down from the Trump administration. All right, you're tuned in to Calendar Truth on Now Time Radio. Give thanks.
Yeah. This is for the children and the children's children and the children's children's children. And their children too.
Got this thing going down in Standing Rock. They try to build a pipeline, but it got blocked by the prayers of some people who really care a lot about the air and the water, and they ain't gonna stop. We've had some good successes and we've made a lot of progress, but we're gonna need your help if we're really gonna stop this. Tell them they can wreck our climate and our water for their profits. Help us make a sound so loud Obama hears it in his office.
And we do it peacefully. And do it peacefully, cause that's the only way that we gon' fulfill the prophecy. And do it lovingly, and do it prayerfully, cause the elders say that this is how we gon' fulfill the prophecy. But how can I help? Yo, I'm really glad you asked. October 8th through 11th, we're going to pray and dance. Close some bank accounts and boycott all the gas, and find creative ways to make a positive impact. Yeah, we got a lot of people and the movement's gaining traction, but we got a bigger dream and we're trying to make it happen. 5,000 prayers and 5,000 actions in the span of 4 days, popping off across the Atlas. And we do it peacefully. We do it peacefully because this is how we maintain our integrity. Yeah, we do it prayerfully and we do it lovingly because keeping our compassion is the most important victory.
We're not standing up to a pipeline. We're standing up to a paradigm that values money over life. So for everyone's sake, this October 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th, one day for each of the four sacred directions, let's pray hard and be proactive. Whether it's a vigil or a ceremony or a letter writing party or a gas boycott, let's make an impact in a good way where it really counts. And when you make your prayers, consider praying for the pipeline workers. Consider praying for the bankers. Consider praying for the people who brought the dogs out, because they are our brothers and sisters too, and they need clean water, and they need a stable climate, and they need a prayer, just like we do.
There's many, many ways that we can serve Creator in this time, and they're all good, and they're all going to add to the tsunami of change that is going to overtake this country in the coming days, weeks, months, and years. So everything you do is important, and everything you try is worth it. And so keep blowing on the embers of this movement. Keep doing it. Don't for a second think that your actions, like this one today, is not important. Every blow on this ember counts. And as we keep blowing, we see the flames rising higher and higher for justice, for peace. And we see that we can create the difference that we want to see in this land, this sacred, holy land. And so I'll just conclude by saying that in this time, we have great ability to shift things. If a slave master had 1,000 slaves, what would he want to do? He'd want them all to think that they are isolated from each other. He wouldn't want one slave to know that there's 999 others in the same position. He would want them to feel isolated. He would want them to feel powerless. Because he knows the moment those 1,000 slaves get together is the moment his whole operation crumbles and goes down. And that is what we are doing with the No DAPL movement and many other movements, is we are seeing how many cities across this country, like Seattle, for example. Good job, Seattle.
Yeah.
Care about indigenous rights. How many cities care about the sanctity of water, the protection of water? How many cities care about transitioning in a just manner to renewable energies and breaking our addiction and enslavement to oil? And so we are really seeing these 1,000 slaves get together. And this is why they're making such drastic moves to stop us, because they're scared. And we must keep walking in prayer towards that slave master, in a loving yet determined manner, and say, we love you, dear brother, but we will not comply. Thank you.
Change the calendar, change your mind, change the world.
Lila June, I mean, what more do we need to say? Her words are so powerful, and to know that she is exactly one of those young John Lennons, one of those young on the front line activists, you know, like she's one of those young artists, as we heard the song just before, you know, using her creative expression to raise awareness. I love that. I think that's we need more of that. And so certainly we want to continue down this track as we've initiated here. This is really all about the consciousness that time is art. Time is our creative mandate. It's our opportunity. And so enough respect to Lila June and the Water Protectors who are currently right now facing down a major, major initiation, a major situation. And we want to send, you know, prayerful, positive energy out there to the veterans who've already returned and the many more who will return to witness and to protect the elders and the Water Protectors. You know, I think that this is something it's not getting enough media. I think that you are hard pressed now to find out media on this. And you know, in this whole presidential election that we've just experienced, the meme of fake news, this whole idea of like what news can you trust? You know, that's a concern. I mean, there is a concern there. But what unfortunately happens is that everything that needs to be given emphasis is made invisible. And so things are removed from people's awareness because we're on to the next thing. We're on to how amazing that Super Bowl was. We're on to how amazing these other things are, things happening that become, again, distractions for people, you know. And yet and still, there are people out there right now on the front line in Standing Rock who are standing in their truth and with the mission and the spirit of service to protect the water, to protect the sacred. So enough respect to them.
Yes.
So, you know, this is, and again, I mean, as a humble platform is what we do here with this program, the intention is to resonate this intention out there in an omnidirectional manner that, that, you know, it is sending a ripple of consciousness that is connecting to others who are at the vanguard of a transformative evolution. I mean, as we're riding this sort of cresting wave into this new time, I mean, that's essentially what we're talking about here. And I want to also say, you mentioned it earlier as well, we do want to encourage people, if they want to do something, one thing they could certainly do that connects to this is that they can go to calendartruth.info and look on the right-hand side of the blog section and go ahead and sign the petition for Calendar Referendum 2020 and the Universal Declaration of World Peace. You know, and I think that this is an important thing to encourage people to do because we are sort of as the nature of the turtle is to gradually but consistently make its way to its destination. We're not going to stop. We realize that this is more of a marathon than a sprint in reality, this calendar reform effort. As we said, this has been going on for nearly a century in its most relatively recent iteration, and we're part of a continuum of helping to emphasize a 13-month, 28-day calendar, you know? But we recognize that, that this petition in particular is important because it's actually an assertion of the indigenous wisdom of 13 moons connecting with a westernized context or culture of people who've been westernized. To help us in the West, in the Western mentality, in these places that have come under the imposition of all sorts of domination in the past 500 years, to assert this synchronous harmonic standard for ourselves. You know, that is itself rooted in the, the indigenous comprehension of a 13-month process relative to the moon. We have 13 moons each year. I mean, this is very basic, very simple, very elegant. It's truth. And so in this truth, you know, I love that we're at least doing our part to try to emphasize this. But pursuing this petition, pursuing this open petition for calendar reform is important because we're actually in the process of educating people and raising awareness and providing some tools, things that people can use to begin to actually make this conscious shift in their lives. By adopting a new calendar, you know, and in this, we're not saying particularly do away with a Gregorian calendar, although that would be great. We are practically saying at the same time, we're saying synchronize your Gregorian calendar to nature. In other words, keep your Sunday through Saturday, keep your Gregorian references, keep your holidays if you want it. But the fact of the matter is, synchronize these things to nature. Make your assertion that you will use a harmonic standard through which to perceive the third dimension phenomena. All this material phenomena.
Absolutely.
Where we're steeped in this material consciousness that's concretized by this Gregorian calendar. So to get a different perspective on it, use a 1328 lens, a natural timing frequency, so you can perceive these events in real time based on the synchronic order. Based on the synchronic order, which is itself a mathematical consequence, a function of numbers. And to that point, I wanted to circle back to you and the new blog that's begun to be a platform for diving much deeper into some of these synchronicities. You and our friend in Germany, who you can share a bit about.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you to speak on the corollary observation that he made with regard to the number 28 and the Gregorian calendar. I think this is fascinating.
Yeah, this is really fascinating, and to kind of to also to add to what you just said about this petition and to the inspiring words of Lila June, she has been really a source of inspiration for me, at least, to really come out and do these kind of shows and put the word out there and see these ripples happening, because she was speaking about these 4 days of action, and we unconsciously, because we were not aware of those 4 days of action at that time, we were working on the petition, and it was launched during those days for Indigenous Peoples Days. So that's another important realization, because that's
amazing.
That's something that is beyond. Yeah, it's beyond our will. It's just happening, and we are now making it conscious that it happened. Yes. So she's inviting.
That.
Yeah, I know, and she's inviting she's doing the same invitation that the Nobel Peace Prizes did here. It's like, take action. How much one action multiplied by thousands can have. And what if those actions are not really that hard, like sharing the petition online or having conversation on the subject? Just that is really important. Having this conversation with the people at this summit was really important, because it was opening for them a whole new area of inquiry. And having people that are from all over the world convening here, especially there was a special envoy. I think it was 360 kids from all over the world, different universities, and doing workshops every day, bringing conclusions to the panel. So there is a lot of preparation for action, like all these very beautiful intentions and very beautiful ideas, and the corollary of the event was this is we have said a lot, and now it's time to just put it into action, and that is really important to understand right now, because inaction also means choosing. When we are making a choice, not making that choice is also a choice. So we have a really something big coming for with the recent news from the new administration, and we want to make sure that we are putting out there all these subjects and ideas, so that we can create not only a wave that can have ripples in time for the positive, but also the realization that that there is much more behind all this action that is here in the 3D and third dimensional reality. There is an order behind this, and this order is actually hidden in the Gregorian calendar. It has to do with this 28-year cycle. So as since nature is fractal, if we have a 28-day harmonic, then it makes sense that we have a 28-year harmonic. It's just that since the Gregorian calendar is not harmony in itself, it's hard to find these patterns. But José Argüelles found this pattern, and he wrote about this in Time and the Technosphere. This was related to a timeline of 28 years between the inauguration of the Twin Towers and the falling of the Twin Towers, and what that cycle of 28 years meant, because before that inevitable event, we go back 28 years, 1973, the inauguration, and then we go back 28 years, and we have a new synchronicity or a new pattern emerging, which is that was Hiroshima. So we can see how an event in the past can have ripples, and these ripples are measured by these harmonics. And so the 28-year harmonic is hidden in the Gregorian calendar in terms that even though every month is irregular and it has not the same standard unit of measure, every 28 years, if you have an old calendar, you can use that same old calendar to program your life. So a calendar from 2001 will be exactly this, look exactly the same and the same distribution than the calendar of 1973 and then of 1945. So there is a program. We were speaking also about how a calendar is the macro program of society. So it's running software of civilization. So if that software has disharmony, the system cannot operate harmonically. Nonetheless, there is harmony in every disharmony, so it has this hidden 28-year record that kind of repeats itself. So what we are now witnessing is that in our case, this petition is also a byproduct of that cycle, because if we go back three cycles of 28 years, we land into 1933, which was going to be the first year of this of 13 months, because it was
January
1st. Sunday, so they,
January 1st.
Yes,
that's right.
January 1st.
Okay,
so
that
now
becomes
we see the
our reference from 2017 back three 28-year cycles takes us to 1933. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes.
That's amazing.
And in a similar way, yes. And in a similar way, it takes us back to 1933, which is when the Nazis in Germany, it was the rise to power of Nazi Germany.
Mm.
So we can see the parallels on that too, that this year is a harmonic of 28 years of this program.
Wow.
That is kind of repeating unconsciously, because since we are operating on a program that we don't know it's crooked, because we take it for granted, then we keep repeating the same mistakes over and over, because we go through the same loop, so we fall again into the same hole. And we discussed this during the last episode, that Donald Trump's inauguration took the same day that Columbus arrived to America, within the Mayan count Tolkien. So that's giving us also like a sense of the ripples in time that one event can create, and
that
one small action also can create.
that's right.
That's amazing.
Amazing. It is amazing.
And my brother from Germany, Janis, Resonant Moon, King 189, he was the one who started to track back this cycle to its 28th harmonic and finding more events that are ripples. So we go back with this cycle of 28 years of the Gregorian calendar. We go back from 2001, 1973, then 1945, then we get to 1917, which was the year that the U.S. declared war to Germany. And if we go back 28 years, I think it's 1889, the Eiffel Tower. So it's kind of related, or is a mirror of the Twin Towers, because they were the tallest buildings. And if we go back 28 years more, we land into 1861 or 1862, which was the start of the American Civil War. So we can see how this war paradigm, because Laila is talking about, we are not fighting a pipeline, we're fighting a paradigm. This paradigm is reinforced by these cycles of 28 years that we are repeating unconsciously. So this time is the time to break those cycles, because we are making them conscious. We are now aware that this is happening, so we will not fall into that same hole, because we know better. And I think that the rise of awareness for what this represents as a symbol, because we want to, in the same way that we want to recognize that there is a human drama happening and that is very real, we want to also address what is behind that drama and mm-hmm. see everything like a symbol. And to see everything as a symbol, we need to also to elevate ourselves above the drama and see what these patterns are about. And by making those patterns conscious, is that we can make better decisions and move ahead. So the purpose of Standing Rock as an icon, and the name in itself has so much power, is the Standing Rock.
Yes.
The last
That's
resort.
Right.
And it's related to also to the Mayan prophecy and the mystery of the stone. And the whole rock aspect makes everything. The rock is the earth. So
yes.
The prophecy behind this event is also very symbolic, because it's the prophecy of the Black Snake and the seven
yeah.
generations. And so we are dealing here that this is the seventh generation. We are the ones we need to make the next generation make it, so that we can start back into this mindset of the native people of seven generations, and how we can
That's right.
Get into that awareness that we need to take care of this planet because of our own future and the future of our children. And people probably are so immersed now in the drama that they're not seeing the big picture and what this pipeline represents as a symbol. So the symbology is really important, because what is coming in the coming weeks will be decisive for the future for the planet. So we really I hope that we can take all action, positive action, and that all these divide and conquer tactics from the old paradigm kind of way down through the realization of people that we have been played out, and there is a lot of a lot of lies now that are very evident, and that they are so the contrast that we are experiencing is so evident right now that this is the time to take action. Like, we cannot wait too much longer because there is this situation coming to a head with the veterans coming to stand for the rights of the indigenous people. And I want also to connect that stand. I remember that there was a social media viral campaign about Standing Rock, people logging from Standing Rock, kind of to show that from wherever on earth you were supporting Standing Rock. And I think that's a very, very important to feel that for the people, that there is a global awareness about this, that they are not being forgotten, the technology can also be right now the solution to make small actions become big actions. So what can we do right now? How can we engage into a sort of concerted positive action, like she was inviting everyone on those days?
I honestly think that's exactly what we're doing. I mean, the fact that we're connecting calendar reform to the reinvigoration of indigenous peoples, communities, their supporters and fellow humans standing together to assert our mutual human rights and the rights of Mother Earth, connecting that to transforming the calendar, changing our thinking, changing our minds by changing our calendar, that is a revolutionary act. That's a revolutionary act. And with that, I want to actually play some audio that you brought to my attention as well from Valum Votan, Jose Arguelles, the Pequarkian audio from the event in 1999. Yep. But what's interesting is we played John Lennon from 1971 earlier, and it's 28 years to 1999 when Arguelles is giving this presentation. So there's a 28-year link right there. And I didn't even think about it in preparing for the show. I just recognized it as we've been talking. So, you know, again, there's a chance to make sacred these things, you know, in a real time fashion, making sacred. But you know, I want to play Balloon Votan and his conversation here on the air. But I want you to also briefly mention, you know, where the audio has come from to us today.
Yes. My good old brother from Portland, Oregon, he uploaded to our Facebook page one of his shows from 2012, and I pick up on the title because it was Time and Morality, the 13 Moons and the Morality of the 13 Moons. So it got my attention, the title, and I, when I heard it, I got the same feeling when I was hearing John Lennon, that he was talking to from the past to us right now, so we can see that this is something that it's been happening, and that we cannot give ourselves the luxury to let it to continue. And like this invitation from Lila at the end was so important to assert with much love what we are trying to achieve as a society, like we need to really bypass all this division, and the only way to bypass it is going beyond what we conceive as labels of nationalities and cultures, languages, races, and that we can just support the earth and our own human rights. And so by supporting, giving our support to Standing Rock, we are actually putting our intention on the core healing crisis that we are experiencing, because this goes back to that initial wound and that initial misappropriation of the land and the way of the land. So
indeed.
It is, yeah.
Well,
so this,
let's get into this audio.
In this audio,
we're running out of time here.
On, yeah.
Okay. We have it's a lengthy clip, so
the
we're
revolution of time.
Yeah, there we go. All right, for sure. Well, we want to definitely invite people to check this out. I don't mean to rush you, but you know, the revolution of time is also the closing window, it seems.
Yeah.
So let's make sure we'll jump in right now. But I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Calendar Truth tonight. This may run until the end of the show, so we want to encourage people to go to calendartruth.info. Be sure to sign the petition, as well as download your own copy of the 13-month, 28-day calendar. Begin to read it. There's some fantastic and fascinating, helpful information to help make this make sense to you, why this is so important. But here we have Valum Votan from the Penarkin Conversation in the year 1999, 28 years after that fantastic interview with John Lennon on the Dick Cavett Show. Thank you again for tuning in to Calendar Truth tonight. We appreciate love you every time. Keep in tune and let it sink in.
You're tuned in to Calendar Truth on Now Time Radio.
Thanks for joining us for Synchronic Solutions and the Medi Hedi. Valum Votan, Earth Wizard Seminary. Welcome back. Picarquín, Chile, 1998-99. Just in time.
Como eso, like this.
Así como esto.
Okay, so we have in the prehistory.
En la prehistoria.
A prevalence of the 13 moon calendar.
Que prevaleció el calendario de las 13 lunas.
In the history.
En la historia.
We have the lunar calendars.
Tenemos calendarios lunares.
The measure of the synodic cycle of the moon.
La medida del ciclo sinódico de la luna.
And then at the end of it, we have the pseudo.
Y al final tenemos el pseudo.
Solar Gregorian calendar.
Solar calendario gregoriano.
Which takes us here to the end of history.
Que nos lleva aquí al final de la historia.
And once again, we have the return.
Y de nuevo tenemos el regreso
of the 13 moon calendar,
del calendario de las 13 lunas,
to take us into the spiral of post-history,
que nos llevará a la espiral de la post-historia.
And that all of this in here,
y todo esto aquí,
was a detour,
fue un desvío,
but a necessary detour,
pero un desvío necesario,
to bring us to a point of needing to become conscious,
para llevarnos al punto de que necesitamos volvernos conscientes.
And that the very, very simple and pragmatic instrument,
y es un instrumento muy simple y pragmático,
to assist us in becoming completely conscious,
que nos asiste para volvernos completamente conscientes,
is this very simple tool of the 13 moon calendar.
Es esta herramienta tan sencilla que es el calendario de las 13 lunas.
But we see also that the difference between the 13 moon calendar of peace,
también vemos que la diferencia entre el calendario de las 13 lunas de paz,
which the Maya called the Tun-Uk,
que los mayas llamaban el Tun-Uk,
the difference between that and the Druid or the Pachacuti examples,
la diferencia de este con el druida o el ejemplo de los del Pachacuti,
is the presence of the Mayan time knowledge,
es la presencia del tiempo, del conocimiento del tiempo maya,
which is now formulated as the law of time,
que ahora está siendo formulado como la ley del tiempo.
And so this is why we say about the law of time.
Y por esto es que nosotros decimos sobre la ley del tiempo.
That wherever the law of time is applied,
que donde sea aplicada la ley del tiempo,
it makes conscious what was unconscious.
Va a ser consciente lo que estaba inconsciente.
That the earlier calendars were developed in the state of unconscious.
que los calendarios anteriores fueron desarrollados en el inconsciente.
That was unconscious of all the mathematical laws of time.
Que estaba inconsciente de toda de la ley del tiempo.
That when we say that, we mean that the mathematics.
Cuando decimos esto, queremos decir que las matemáticas
of time
del tiempo
is completely encoded into the 13 moon calendar.
Están completamente codificadas en el calendario de las 13 lunas.
As in the ratio 4 is to 7, as 7 is to 13.
Como en la proporción de que el 4 es a 7, como el 7 es a 13.
The also because of the analysis of the 1260 1320.
También porque haciendo el análisis del 1260 y el 1320,
we understand that the 13 moon calendar appearing at the top end of the spiral,
que podemos entender que el calendario 1320 que aparece al principio de la espiral, arriba de la espiral,
that it has also a further function.
Que también tiene una función más allá.
That is a function of the acceptance of the 13 moon calendar today.
La función de la aceptación del calendario de las 13 lunas hoy
is to use this calendar to break with the old 1260 forms.
Es para usar este calendario para romper con las formas del 1260.
As in the image we used earlier today of the pushing the delete button.
Como en la imagen que usamos antes de usar el botón de borrar.
And putting in the new software.
Y en meter el nuevo software.
So, when we talk about this, breaking with the old form,
cuando hablamos de esto, de romper con la vieja forma,
we're talking about the greatest revolution in history.
Estamos hablando de la más grande revolución en la historia.
And it is literally the revolution of time.
Y literalmente la revolución del tiempo.
And when we say revolution of time,
cuando decimos revolución del tiempo,
we know that revolution means to revolve.
Sabemos que revolución quiere decir el revolver.
And time causes our planet naturally to revolve.
Y el tiempo naturalmente hace a nuestro planeta revolver.
So that this revolution,
entonces la revolución
of time,
del tiempo,
is actually time causing the revolution.
Es en realidad el tiempo causando la revolución.
Just like time causes the earth to go around the sun,
así como el tiempo hace a la tierra ir alrededor del sol,
time is also causing us through the 13 moon calendar,
el tiempo a través del calendario de las 13 lunas,
to have a spiritual, moral, and mental revolution against the old order.
Nos hace tener una revolución espiritual y moral contra el viejo orden.
Yes, and that when we speak about this, we are not trying to say that we need to be antagonistic.
Cuando hablamos de esto, no queremos decir que tenemos que ser antagonistas.
But that we need to rise to a new level of discrimination.
Pero que tenemos que subirnos a otro nivel de discriminación
in our mind,
en nuestra mente,
and that attaining this level of discrimination in our mind,
y al obtener este nivel de discriminación en nuestra mente,
discrimination for instance between 1260 and 1320,
es una discriminación de entre 1260 y 1320,
that we need to fortify this discrimination,
que necesitamos fortalecer esta discriminación
with the moral strength to back it up.
Con una fuerza moral para respaldarlo.
This is very important. So we're talking about a mental, moral, spiritual revolution of time.
Entonces estamos hablando de una revolución del tiempo mental y moral.
And this revolution of time,
y esta revolución del tiempo,
is also being guided by time.
También está siendo guiada por el tiempo.
As we know that the success, that the relative success of any revolution.
Así como sabemos que el éxito relativo de cualquier revolución,
as that the revolutionary leaders,
así como los líderes revolucionarios,
know the right time to strike.
Saben el tiempo correcto para atacar.
Change the calendar, change your mind, change the world.